The specialists are back, and we are recapping episode number 7 of The Amazing Race 36. And I got to say, I enjoy watching The Amazing Race. I really do. But the last two episodes with Who Have Gone Home, it's more like The Great Race or The Good Race. I don't know if we can really call it The Amazing Race. Sunny and Busy going home was one of the least shocking things ever. And maybe I'm a little numb right now because the Survivor episode last night was absolutely absurd. Like, man, I just sat there and I said, okay, I know how this is going to end from 1 minute in because, you know, maybe even from the preview last week, right? I mean, it was pretty obvious, it felt.
Yeah, but I feel like there was a lot of changing within the standings, within the other parts of the episode that I felt made it really interesting because, you know, Angie and Danny are leaving in the last group, and now they're second. We had Rod and Letitia in first at one point. We had Amber and Vinny in first at one point. So I think the constant switching of who's in first and who is like near Sunny and Busy was ever changing throughout the episode.
Yeah, and I think this was probably the biggest takeaway from this. I guess the thing with The Amazing Race is when the team that's going home feels obvious, you know, it's a little annoying. It's a little like whatever. But it was fun to watch Danny and Angie actually make that jump. And we talked about it last week in our episode recap where we were saying once Angie and Danny start navigating on their own, they have a serious advantage over these other teams. Because these other teams have been relying on Danny and Angie to navigate for them. Mm-hmm. And so watching them in this episode very nearly win this episode. They almost pulled it out. I mean, good for them. That's exciting. I'm happy for them. Go Angie and Danny. I'm a fan of the team.
I was sad that they left in the last group after helping everyone else. Like they weren't put in the middle group, all three of them.
And but I think that's what woke them up and said, we got to play this.
Yeah.
So might have been what they needed. I'm looking at this real quick. So that was their highest finish. They finished second. Their highest before that was third. They'd gone fourth and fifth. But like we said last week, they were essentially third. So to get second, what about Juan and Shane here with the sickness? Do you think the illness is really the reason that they fell so far behind? I mean, they were pretty awful this episode.
Yeah, they weren't doing too well. I think I don't know if it was the sickness. I just think everyone is struggling on navigation besides Ricky and Cesar and Angie and Danny. Mm-hmm. Everyone is getting hit by navigational issues because they weren't horrible at the roadblock. That granted, they let other teams kind of pass them, but they were still like hot on tails leaving the roadblock. So, and they finished the detour in one try or something like that. So they weren't bad at the challenges. I think it was just the navigation, and that has been proving to be the entirety of the race.
Yep. Quick shout out to Kelly Butterfly and Peter Harris, who are both here in the comments. Peter Harris, greetings from Australia. And then Kelly Butterfly had the first comment. So I just wanted to throw them in. Like this video and subscribe if you're not. I'm just happy to see that we have some live listeners today. Navigation, it should be interesting how navigation goes now when they go to Barbados. I'm not sure how many people who are listening to this have actually spent any time in Caribbean islands. Because Barbados, I gotta see. I feel like Barbados is probably the one that people probably spend a little bit of the least amount of time on. It's not one that cruise ships really go to as often, even though there are Barbados routes, obviously. It's just maybe not to the level of like a Jamaica or Dominican Republic or any of that. I have never been to South America, but I've been to the Caribbean. And the one thing you notice about the Caribbean streets is they are narrow, they are tight. And they're not always one way, even though sometimes they should be. And so I'm curious how this is going to affect teams moving forward once we get into this Caribbean nation, because I do feel like it's going to be almost an entirely new driving experience for them again. Mm-hmm. And we did see pretty much every single team struggle. Now, Amber and Vinny are just going to fight each other until the day they die. Oh, Rod and Letitia, they were fine this episode, but we've seen them struggle in the past. Yvonne and Melissa, we've seen struggle in the past. Now we've seen Juan and Shane struggle in the past. Angie and Danny have a huge advantage, But on these roads, this is one where if you go the wrong way, you could end up backed up for a long, long time.
Yeah. I am surprised that Yvonne and Melissa aren't doing better, because Yvonne does speak fluent Spanish, or at least it's seemingly fluent from this episode. And I'm just surprised that they're not like more toward the top of the pack, and they're constantly coming in toward the bottom. Like, they're predicted probably the next team out in next week's episode. So
yeah, because I'm assuming Juan and Shane will figure this out. I do think it was food poisoning. I don't think that's the sole reason they fell behind, but I think the lack of energy might be part of the reason why they weren't able to compete a little bit better in some of this. Not good to lose to Yvonne and Melissa here. No. Because Yvonne and Melissa have been running so far behind. But I do think that Juan and Shane will figure it out. They'll be fine. The big advantage is, in this type of race, everything is so close that you're not, like, when you start the next day, you're not super far behind. It's not like in other seasons, because they're starting in groups, because they're all taking the charter jet wherever they need to go. So that is definitely an advantage for Juan and Shane. And I think ultimately they will be fine. We were talking about how it was becoming kind of predictable. I mean, Sonny and Busy never finished better than seventh, and they finished seventh. Derek and Chalisa had a solid start to the race, and then they started to fall off. So it was no surprise to see them finish eighth. Kishori and Karishma never finished higher than eighth. They got ninth. Michelle and Sean had a good first leg. Then they finished 10th. Anthony and Bailey were eighth, eighth, 11th.
Yeah.
It's pretty predictable. And now you look at Yvonne and Melissa, sixth, fifth, sixth, seventh, sixth, 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 fifth. They're next. Like, yeah. They really are. They're going to need a massive blow up from one of these other teams. I was really surprised that they were as close to Juan and Shane as they were, though. Did that make sense to you?
No, I from the edit, it seemed like we were going to get the fake race from Sonny and Busy and Yvonne and Melissa. But then all of a sudden, Yvonne and Melissa passed Juan and Shane in the cars. And I was like, they're that close? How did that happen?
When did that happen? That's all I could think, too. It made no sense to me. I was so confused. And then they went past them. I think even Juan and Shane were shocked. But I was just saying to myself, like, okay, I knew Juan and Shane weren't running a great leg, but I didn't feel like they were running that bad of a leg. And then they, all of a sudden they were. And I mean, that's just the thing with the Amazing Race, is all it takes is one bad leg and it's all over for you. Like, I just think Yvonne and Melissa, they feel like they're going to be the team to lose. And then the final five, it's really any given Sunday there, where any team can beat anybody and any team can lose to anybody. Justin Heinrich says a lot of teams are lopsided going into endgame, with one person doing substantially more roadblocks than the other. Where is this information? Because I was actually looking for this, and it's not, I don't see it on the Wikipedia. It might be here and I'm just not looking in the right place. But Justin, can you link us here? And then Gyro D. Garcia, what is the track record for TAR 36 so far? Will Ricky and Cesar beat Rachel and Dave for the track record?
So the number of firsts.
They have four right now.
Yeah, I don't know how many.
Four firsts in 3 seconds.
I don't know how many Rachel and Dave had, but, like, honestly, they're going to win. It seems like they're just going to win out the entire time.
Rachel and Dave. I actually watched this season. Rachel and Dave won 8 legs. I don't think they're winning 8 legs. I don't think they're going to win 8 legs. I don't actually know how many legs are left. 5 legs left. So they'd have to win every one of them to get 9.
Oh, yeah.
So Justin said he doesn't have a link. He just knows Rod, Vinny, and Danny usually do the roadblocks. But last week, Angie did the roadblocks to catch up to Danny in the mega leg. She did both of them. So actually, Danny and they're not as off. Let's kind of break down, since we're down to the final six. We talked about Yvonne and Melissa. They seem like they're in a little bit of trouble here. Juan and Shane obviously had the illness right after their first place finish. So they went from first to as close to last as you can get without being eliminated. But let's talk about, like, the legitimacy of everybody else's contenders. Ricky and Cesar, they feel like they're good. What's up with Amber and Vinny? What are you sitting there watching? And I'm glad I'm doing this with you, McKenna, and not Will or Blake or something, because I'm very curious how you felt Vinny and Amber were communicating in this episode.
I was absolutely frustrated at this entire episode for Amber and Vinny, and I honestly wouldn't put it past them to maybe squeak out the loss to Yovan and Melissa next episode just due to communication, because it was also really interesting to me getting only Amber's perspective. We had so many confessionals of just Amber being like, Vinny is being controlling, Vinny is this, Vinny is that, Vinny. And like at the end, when they checked in and weren't last, we got, you know, the pullback and Vinny's there and he's just like, yeah, we're going to work on our communication. Both of us need to. And it was like, I feel like you were being more of the aggressor here. It felt very like he's trying to take control and saying like she can't do it when she's just trying to help.
Okay, so you were on Team Amber.
Yes.
See, for me, I wasn't on Team anybody. I thought they both sucked. And I feel like right now, valid. I feel like here's the thing, right? With Amber and Vinny, a lot of people want to jump onto like the gender of it all and be like, Vinny is being almost, I don't know what the internet's saying. I don't follow Amazing Race internet, but it's, you know, he's being abusive, essentially. He's being aggressive towards her and all of that. I think two things are true here. I think Amber sucks at directions and does not want to listen to Vinny. But I think Vinny doesn't do himself favors by being as obnoxious as he is.
Right.
The thing that really frustrated me in this episode is I thought Vinny was more whiny than anything, which is what confused me. Like, I understand that Amber might be driving you nuts, but that's the best way of communication you come up with. You're really hurting the team. It sounded so patronizing. And maybe that's just the way their relationship works. I'm not on Team anybody, though. I mean, Amber is clearly easily flustered and does not do well under pressure situations and doesn't want to let Vinny take the reins on the things that he's good at. But Vinny, I mean, maybe he thinks because he's using the calm tone that that's good. To me, it just felt very patronizing. So, yeah, I think Amber and Vinny might actually be in the most danger out of the five teams not named Yvonne and Melissa.
Yeah, I was just, I did not like them on my screen this episode. It was, I was waiting for their confessionals and moments to be done when they were searching for the car, when they were doing, like, anything that wasn't positive for them, I was ready for it to be over.
Mm-hmm. And there wasn't really much positive at all.
No.
And the other thing is, they pretty much were good. Like, they never were in danger. That's the weird part. Right?
This like came out of nowhere.
They finished fourth. They never fell behind Yvonne and Melissa or Juan and Shane. They were running good. They were the first ones done with the welding. And Vinny got done with the welding first. They beat Juan and Shane and Cesar and Ricky off the line from there. Rod and Leticia actually beat them off the line there too. So it's like, why was there so much animosity this episode?
I don't know. Between the two of them? I don't know. And the fact that like he can speak Spanish and she can't, he was like, that means I have to do all of this. But it's like, no, you can help with communication for the map. Like, it felt like he was taking over the map where like all his hands were over everything. And it's like, if you help with the communication and I help looking at the map, then we can both try and figure it out. But it just felt very like, well, now I have to do everything rather than like working together as a team.
There had to have been a better way. That's all I know. There had to have been a better way. We've seen these frustrations between the two of them throughout. They're not quite the Flo and Zach levels from season three. That's right. I watched season three, everybody.
Whoa.
They're not quite Flo and Zach, which was probably the most intolerable duo I've ever seen in the history of the show. And somehow they one. I am still watching that season. I could go back. Probably my favorite season of The Amazing Race, just because you watch Flo and Zach, and Flo is so awful that entire season, and they win anyway. But it does have that same vibe of like, we're just going to argue because that's the only way we can communicate with each other.
Natalie and Nadia in Survivor, I'm here for. Natalie and Nadia in The Amazing Race? No.
I hate them on The Amazing Race. I really do. They drove me absolutely insane. All right. So we talked about them. Rod and Leticia. How you feeling about Rod and Leticia right now? What's their legitimacy? Are they a legit team? Can they win this thing? Or
I don't think they can win, but I think we see them in the final.
Okay.
I think I guess my hope here is, or my thoughts, it's going to get down to Rod and Leticia and Juan and Shane for that third spot. I think Ricky and Cesar have it unlocked, and I want Angie and Danny to get into the final. So I think Rod and Leticia and Juan and Shane are battling it out for that last spot in the finale.
So you think Angie and Danny, that was going to be my next question.
They're I want them to get there.
Sixth, ninth, third, fourth, fifth, second. You think they're on the up and up? You think that they're moving in the right direction? You think they're going to get in?
My hope. I'm just putting out hope for them to get into the finale because I just want to see them run it. I think they're starting to become a strong team, and with the roadblock catch up, I'm honestly surprised that Angie didn't do this roadblock, but surprisingly everyone has some form of welding experience.
The only thing I know about welding is you're supposed to do like up and down, up and down, up and down, because if you do a smooth line, it's too weak. That's the only thing I know about welding. It did crack me up how much they knew about welding. It does make sense that Danny did this one though, because Danny actually had welding experience, which Angie did not. So ultimately that worked out for them. And she'll just have to make it up later. But yeah, I mean, Danny went through that very, very, very quickly. They seem like they're hitting their stride and they're confident, but I always feel like sometimes with these fan favorite teams or like these underdog teams, they always have one leg where the wheels just come off. And I feel like that's coming.
I think we lose Amber and Vinny and Yvonne and Melissa, and it's going to be a battle at four.
Yeah. So you think Amber and Vinny, you're not even really considering them a team that can crack this top four. You're feeling like they're out at five.
I think they're either out next or out at five.
Okay. Okay.
Just because I also am not like after this episode, I just got a sour taste and I had never really been like pulling for them throughout the race. So I feel like I don't want to see what could happen in the finale if this is what happened this episode and it's not the final leg.
We'll see. I try not to put my heart in it. You know, I have to say this is what I feel like is going on, and I just feel like they could be a strong team, but their communication is bad. Ultimately though, the things that have been the weaknesses of the teams are what are getting them eliminated. Sunny and like Derek and Chalisa, it very much was their age. Sunny and Busy, it was the fact that they can't navigate and they were driving around. They might not have even been in Uruguay by the end of this episode. I have no idea. They were like, where the hell were they going? And it was nonstop. They're not even close. And Justin did just put up all of them. Ricky and Cesar. Cesar has five. Ricky has three. These are roadblocks. Danny has five. Angie has three. Rod has five. Leticia has three. Shane has five. Juan has three. Vinny and Amber are 4-4. Yvonne and Melissa are 4-4. So it's actually not unevenly distributed where you're going to be saying, oh no, definitely going to have Angie probably doing the one in Barbados though, but still.
Yeah. To try and get it as close to even as possible going into the last like little bottleneck.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays they might not have to end exactly like it could be
it can
one
be
up.
Off by one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think they do odd numbers now. They used to do even where everybody had to be even, but now it's as close as you can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you have wanted to do the welding for Sparks?
I've never welded.
Fly or whatever.
I've never welded, but like I said, I know you got to do the up and down thing. So I think I probably would have been fine with it. I did like at the beginning, a lot of people were going straight across or they were going up and down, but they were leaving like too wide of gaps. It felt like I probably would have moved a little slow at it because I've never actually done it, but I think I would have understood what you needed to do well enough that I probably could have, I would have rather done it. I mean, like if I'm running the race with my wife, yeah, I'm doing it. If I'm running the race with my friend, I'm probably still doing it. Like, I don't know which of my friends know how to weld. So, I probably still would have done it. What would you have wanted to weld, or you have a background in welding like everybody on the season somehow?
Like I personally don't have a background in welding. I'm pretty sure I have some family members who have welded. So I feel like that has to be included right in the storyline. But depending on who I'm running the race with, like if it's my fiance, it's probably me. If it's my mom, then maybe she can take that. But you know, my mom is a lot better at like the brute strength kind of roadblock. So that's kind of what this doesn't require, where like she could do that over me, she could do something else over me. So I think I would wind up doing this roadblock.
What about with the detour? To me, this was easy, but which one would you have picked?
I probably would have gone the singing, because just to try and like coordination and rhythm, I'd have to try it out, but I don't know if I could do it, is the thing. And I have performed before. I can't sing, but like I know how to put on a performance, so I could do the smiling and the dancing, and like I've learned songs before, so like I feel like that would come more natural to me than rather than the drums.
Yeah, I'm drumming all the way. Yeah. I'm drumming all the way. And here's the other reason too. I feel like with the singing and the dancing part of this, you really can get screwed here, where you go and you're doing it and then like you have to wait until it can refresh, or you can't read the sign, or you just don't speak Spanish. So what are they looking for? Speaking Spanish, singing in Spanish, and dancing at the same time. I feel like, you know, the name of this episode was Walk and Chew Gum Baby or something like that. I don't know if I would be comfortable doing both of those things at the same time. Mm-hmm. Where, and then you have to get dressed up. You have to be in the line. You have to go through the song every time.
Yep.
The drum, you're just pounding out a beat. Like, everybody's got a beat. Everybody's listening to music. You don't have to put yourself in too uncomfortable of a situation. Like, I understand it's still not that easy. Mm-hmm. But if you've listened to enough of like one song, right? Like you could probably do every single drum beat, every guitar part, every piano part of a song. I'm doing the drum. I think there's less logistics to the drums, and that's what makes me happy about that.
Well, luckily they're so close together. So like,
yes,
if I was partnered with someone who's like, I really want a drum, and I'd be like, all right, we'll try it. And I can't get it. Like, it's all the way. It's just right there, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, we saw Ricky and Cesar pass the drummers running to the singing.
Yep. It was right there. And why do you think that these are so close? Is it just because
I think it's also the carnival, too, like, keeping everything, I don't know, close together because of, you know, that's where things are, or COVID. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not completely positive on why they're so close.
Yeah, it must have something to do with the COVID thing, because I was so confused too. They were so close together, but I feel like the drumming was the right move. Ricky and Cesar, they did the singing. They did it pretty quickly. Yvonne and Melissa did the singing, right?
Right.
They didn't do it very quickly,
because they were so stoic and so like,
that's how I feel. I would.
All right, this
you're
is
more focused on the going. Yeah, you're more focused on the singing and the words. You're not remembering that you actually are putting on a performance.
But they did have like it wasn't a prompter, but they had the script for the words and stuff up, which is nice. So you didn't have to completely memorize it. You could look over and see that, you know, what your line is.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Fair, but still, when you're trying to read it now you're trying to read it and sing it while reading it, you're squinting, you're looking at it. I feel like there's a little, it's hard. And I think the other thing that makes that difficult is when it comes to the drumming thing, you got to find two people who can learn how to hit and bang and do whatever. Yeah. When it comes to the singing of it, you have to find two people who are comfortable in that situation. And I know that The Amazing Race is obviously casting larger than life type characters, but that's a different circumstance. And I think that could just be tough for people.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's my opinion on that. What else? Did we miss anything? I mean, I like to try to hit a half hour, but if we don't have a half hour, we don't have a half hour.
Ricky and Cesar got a Paris trip. Oh, the Expedia hotel ad in the beginning.
Very silly. Goofy, goofy, goofy. I wanted to see that. I saw like when Rod and Letitia were going through, they're like, oh, baby, you know, you got to put me in that big room. And they were at like a $4,000 room. I'm like, yeah, I don't think The Amazing Race is putting you in $4,000 and putting Ricky and Cesar in $330 room. So, yeah, good one. That was such a play. I mean, the problem is they got to run their ads somehow. And
I know,
with this season being a pre-COVID season, despite airing, you know, 2 years after. I mean, now the COVID emergency has literally been like ended for what, 2 years essentially. You know, they have to get their ads in somehow. That's the best way they could do it.
Yeah, my big question, because it was last year was also Expedia, but typically it's Travelocity and the Roaming Gnome. So like, what happened. What was the drama between Amazing Race?
Do you think Travelocity is a better company at this point than Expedia? Or do you think Expedia is actually an upgrade?
I don't know. I just like the roaming gnome of it all.
Yeah. Has anybody here in the chat or in the comments, has anybody ever used Travelocity? Because I've used Expedia numerous times. I've never used Travelocity.
Yeah, I've never used Travelocity either.
Do you know what the roaming gnome is from?
No.
It is from Amelie, French movie, in my top four all time, which John and I did a podcast about. So if you want to listen to that podcast, I have an Amelie podcast, and the roaming gnome is from that movie.
Wow. Yep. All right. So after you're done here, go back to Movie Buffs or Cinema Specialists.
Cinema Specialists. I know. We might have to go back to Movie Buffs. Our newest ones aren't helping out all that much. unfortunately, are you haven't seen that. People are just saying, yeah, we don't care. And we're not going to watch your podcast either. So we might have to come up with a new topic. Poor John's going to have to do some extra work. But yeah, Jojo Rabbit and the Great Dictators doing about as well as Hunter last night in Survivor. So yeah, here we are. but anyway, I don't really have anything else.
Yeah, I think we pretty much went over everything.
All right. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel.
Become a patron.
Yeah, Justin said he was impressed. Rod got the welding in one try. It was impressive. Good for him. Yep. But yeah. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, do all that fun stuff. McKenna and Celestine are going to have a Patreon episode on Saturday. They just don't know what the topic is going to be. When are you doing Survivor Rewind? Tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night we'll be live and we'll have an episode over on the Patreon as well.
Cool. And I'm going to do my after show in a little bit here. So if you want to be a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. McKenna's going to be posting TikToks all day. TikTok was just informed that
one's already up. Go.
It's going to be banned if they don't sell in 9 months or something like that. So hopefully it doesn't, because now we're starting to finally build up a TikTok following just in time for it to be banned in the US. So here we go. So please sell.
Well, on Reels then.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have to do all of our work on Instagram, which, I mean, I guess we're okay on Instagram. We're not great, but we're not really great anywhere. Let's be honest.
Like us on Instagram. Follow us.
Yeah, go like all our stuff. Just go do some work, people. Thank you all so much for listening. We're trying to drag this out. I was hoping that I could babble for 3 minutes, but I can't. So we're out. Thank you. Bye. Later.